Let's read from the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning at verse 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and when they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintance, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt this with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of his precious and eternal word. When Billy Graham first started preaching and got famous and people got to know who he was, they came to see about him. You know how it is. Somebody's famous. Everybody wants to see him. Lived in a little house beside the road down at Montreat, North Carolina. There's some pretty good stuff comes out of the mountains of North Carolina. But don't tell anybody I said that. And they just had a non-pretentious little house. Had a screened-in porch and didn't have air conditioning in those days. So they had screens in the windows. They discovered something bad about being famous. They'd sit down to eat supper and people would be in the windows with their cameras and taking their picture. People would open the door and walk in, take their picture. And they didn't have any privacy at all. And you look through the window of the Graham house and you say, what are we going to see? Well, you say, see Billy and Ruth and the kids sitting around the table asking the blessing and eating their food. They have finally had to build a house up on the mountain where you couldn't get to it, so everybody couldn't see him. That's where they still live. Except Ruth lives in heaven today, but Billy's still up there on the hill. And I wondered what it would be like to go in Nazareth and walk down the street in Nazareth and peer through the windows of Mary and Joseph's house. Just what would you see if you walked into Nazareth in the first century and walked down the street to their home and peered in the windows? What would you see? Well, I'll tell you the first thing you'd see a family. And I want to define it. You'd see a mother, Mary, a father, Joseph, and you would see the oldest child was named Jesus, and there were a couple of brothers that we know their names, James and Jude, and some girls. So you would have seen a fair-sized little family, 6 or 7 children, a mother, and a father. By the way, that's the only family the Bible recognizes. Amen? There was not 2 fathers or 2 mothers, and there wasn't any of that kind of mess going on there. There was a father and a mother and some children. That's what you would have seen if you would have looked through the windows of that house. But as you paid attention, you would have noticed that there was something different about the older son. All the other children had Adam in them. All the children in there, including the father and the mother, descended from Adam through the male line. But the oldest son had a peculiarity about him. We know what it was. His father was God. And Joseph was his legal father, but God was his real father.
He had a different nature than all the other kids there. The others threw tantrums and threw food and had to be whooped, and all kinds of things went on with them. Just like your kids and mine and me and you. They all were children of Adam, and they all acted up. And some people had to be taken away from the table because they acted up and all kinds of things. But there was something strange about this older son. Now, it wasn't that his name was Jesus. I know this may walk on you a little bit, but Jesus was a common name. And if you translate it not into Greek, which we use as Jesus, and translate it directly, it would be Joshua. If you went back to the Hebrew, it'd be Yehoshua. And there were lots of people with that name in that time. So he came to be called Jesus of Nazareth. So you'd know which Jesus they were talking about in that day and time. In fact is, you say, well, that's sad that they'd have to say Jesus of Nazareth. Must not have been too sad when God spoke and from heaven to the Apostle Paul, and we hear him tell about it, the 22nd chapter of Acts. Jesus speaks himself from heaven and said, I am Jesus of Nazareth. And his people were called Nazarenes, by the way. So it must not be such a terrible thing to call him that. So when you're looking through the windows, you're noticing a family and an older son that's different than anybody you've ever seen. You've never seen a child. Peggy, I thought about you when I prepared this message. Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. I tell you, there's never been a child like Jesus. There's never been a child raised like Jesus. This child never had to have a whipping. This child never had to be put in a corner. This child never threw a temper tantrum. This child never did anything bad to his brothers or sisters. But he grew up with several brothers and sisters around him, and he had to put up with children of Adam every day and every minute of his life. That's the way life was. And if you look through there, you'll discover pretty soon that you're looking at a working man's family. This is not a palace. It's not even a well-off home. This is a carpenter's house. This man is a carpenter. He builds houses. He builds furniture, maybe. He puts things together, and he works with his hands. When you look through this room, you realize that they're living on the bare essentials. You wouldn't like anything about where they live. In fact is, as you look in the house, you would realize that it's not any house that any of us here live in or would live in. They don't have glass in the windows. They don't have carpet on the floor. In fact, they don't have a floor. Either the floor is flat-laid stone or it's packed earth that they sweep. They don't have a stove, because stoves haven't been invented for 1,800 years yet. They have a fire pit in the middle of the room, and they go down the street and bake their bread in a common bakery that the people in the town all use together. You wouldn't like the privacy issue at all in this house. It doesn't have indoor plumbing of any kind, and it doesn't have any privacy. There's one room downstairs, maybe the mother and them are separated by a curtain, but that would be all. Everybody in the room is sleeping in the same room. Everybody in the room eats out of the same pot. Everybody in the room shares everything that's there. They have nothing that you would call convenience. If they have light, other than coming through the open window, the light would come from an oil lamp. And I don't mean the kind that we have with a chimney and all that. I mean a little earthen vessel with a spout on the end that's filled with olive oil that they light. It would be very dim and very dark and very smoky in that room. You would not like it at all. It would not be clean enough for you to live in. They didn't have sheets on the bed. They didn't have Sealy mattresses on the bed. They didn't have anything that you would like. Everything that they had was difficult. And they lived in a town and on a street that you wouldn't like anything about the town, and you wouldn't like anything about the street. The truth is, my friends, when you looked at the street, you would not like it, because the street would have been dirty and dusty. It would have been filled with the droppings of horses and cows and sheep and oxen. And when you walked through the street, you would have got your feet filthy dirty in your sandals and would have tracked it in the house. That's why they all had foot washings when they went in the house. But you would have discovered as you looked through the windows that this was a devout family. This was a praying family. You see, my friend, whether you have or don't have anything to do with whether you pray or not. And whether you live in a palace or whether you live in a one-room building like they lived in, it was made out of stone and logs. My friend, I don't have a thing to do with your devotion to God. You would have noticed when these people sat down to eat that they were a devout Jewish family. Don't ever forget that Jesus was a Jew. And don't ever turn against the Jew or Israel, because that's God's chosen people. And this Jesus was a Jew. And you would have discovered that when they sat down to eat, they didn't jump into eating like a bunch of hogs at the trough. When they sat down to eat, they had prayers that they said and thanked God for being the creator of food. The prayers are still in existence today. We know what they said. And they praised God for being the creator and for bringing them their daily bread and for their food. These people attended synagogue on the Sabbath day and attended the great feast in Jerusalem on the feast days. They regularly, if you pay attention to the scripture I just read, when they had a feast of Passover in Jerusalem, Mary and Joseph regularly went to the feast. You say, well, that's cool, that's great. Yes, 70 miles to 80 miles of walking through the hot land and 70 to 80 miles of walking back. They stayed for the whole 7 days. If you pay attention, they were a devout couple. They didn't just go. You know, some folks can't wait for God to get done. But these people stayed for the whole 7 days. How'd you like to go to church for 7 days? They stayed the whole time that they were there. And that's where we pick up our story today. They had gone to the feast of the Passover and stayed till all the days were fulfilled. That meant they stayed 8 days. They stayed the Passover and the 7 days of unleavened bread before they went back to Nazareth, to that little house in that little town that wasn't much of anything as far as the world was concerned. The women usually started walking ahead of time, and the kids, because they took longer to get there, and the men came afterwards and caught up with them, and then they camped out together at night, and that's the way it was. And so when Mary went, she assumed that Jesus was with. He was 12 years old. By the way, that's when he had his bar mitzvah. That's when he came to be a man and became a son of the law. And so he came for the first time to participate in the feast of the Passover. Mary thought that going ahead that he was with Joseph. But when Joseph noticed he wasn't with him, he thought he was with Jesus. I mean with Mary. So when they got together that night, they discovered that Jesus wasn't with them. So they run back to Jerusalem the next day, terrified of what's happened, and they search all over the town for Jesus. Well, when they find him, they find him in the temple, and he's sitting down with all of the doctors and lawyers and mighty men of the law, and he's listening to what they said, but he's asking them questions. And they're dumbfounded, they're astounded, because this 12-year-old boy knows everything there is to know about the law. He can't be stumped. They can't ask him a question he doesn't know the answer to. There's nothing about the Bible, which they had Genesis through Malachi, that he doesn't know about. He knows everything there is to know about it. And they, of course, try to put a guilt trip on him. They say, son, don't you know we've been looking for you and we've been just crazy. And you know how it is. You say, oh, God, save my kid, save my kid. If I get a hold of him, I'm going to kill him. And I don't think Mary and Joseph were any different at all. And I think we're all like that. You know, we sit up at night waiting for the kids to come home and praying, oh, God, don't let nothing happen to them on the highway. Don't let this happen. When they come in, first thing they do is grab them and say, where in the world have you been? And that's pretty human, and that's exactly what Mary did. Said, son, don't you know what you put us through? Said, your father and I, called Joseph his father. He changed that in just a moment. He said, didn't you know that I'd be in my father's house and about my father's business? You see, he transferred who his father was from Joseph to God. I testify to you that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. And that He is the Son of God means that He is God the same as the Father is God. And when we look at Him, we see Him 12 years old. The last time we saw Him, He was a baby in laying in a manger. And then we saw Him when He was 4 years old coming out of Egypt. But now He's 12 years old and He's entering into manhood. And He's growing like any other boy would grow. He says He grew in spirit and He was wise and He had the grace of God. And then the last verse says He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So you say, well, what was Jesus like, do you think? What kind of a person was He? Well, He was a good person. He never sinned. I testify to you on statement of faith today. Jesus Christ was sinless. He never sinned. He lived 33 years in this world and never sinned. And I have to say, He didn't sin in His thoughts. He didn't sin in His actions. And He didn't sin in His intentions. He lived a sinless life the whole time. You say, well, what did He look like? Well, if it had been real important for you to know what He looked like, He'd have sent you a picture. But it wasn't important. If it had been important for you to know what day He was born on, He'd have sent you an announcement that He was born on such and such a day. The important thing was that He was born, and the important thing was that He was here. And you say, what did He look like? I'll tell you what He didn't look like. He wasn't no shallow-faced Caucasian with long blonde hair and blue eyes and a halo around His head. That's what medieval artists pictured Him to be, but that's not Him. I can tell you some of what He would have looked like. He'd look like a freak if He'd have been looking like that in that day and time. Can you imagine a real pale-faced white person coming out of the house in Nazareth with long hair flowing down on his shoulders that's blonde and blue eyes and all the sissy-looking kind of person that they pictured Jesus to be? Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ as a man was a real man. Now, sometimes we talk about Joseph being a carpenter, and I don't ever know where we get the term carpenter shop because it's not in the Bible. I'm kind of peculiar about saying what the Bible says and what it don't say, don't say. And the Bible don't say one thing about Joseph having a carpenter shop. But the Bible does say that Joseph was a carpenter. That meant he built houses. Now, what did he have to do to build a house? First of all, he had to be dig. He had to get out and take a mattock or something and dig out a foundation in the ground. Then he had to go get stones and he had to lay stones, and I can tell you it takes a real man to pick up stones. And he picked up stones and he laid up walls out of stone, and then he had to go hew down trees and take a, how many of you know what a foot adz is? An old-fashioned foot adz. That was invented already then. He had to take a foot adz and he had to take the bark off the logs and flatten them out on the side. When you saw Jesus Christ, my friend, as a young man, you was looking at a man. You wasn't looking at some sissy. You was looking at a man. You was looking at a man that had shoulders and had a strong back and had strong arms and strong legs. And I want to tell you something. He wasn't lily white and he didn't have blonde hair. He probably had black curly hair, and he was dark complected from being in that part of the world anyway. But he spent his time working in the sun under an almost tropical sun, so he was tanned beyond anything any of us here are tanned, even some of you that go lay in the tanning booth and slop it on out of a jar. What brought that life on? He didn't get his that way. So he was a tanned, strong physique man, and he was a real man. And he probably had curly hair. Now, I have to tell you something about him. He was the best role model that young people have ever had. Or best model anybody's ever had. But he was the best role model. We talk about young people having role models. Young people, look at Jesus Christ. He lived his whole life as a young man. 18 years from the time this is till he becomes a preacher. It's 18 years from the time that this scripture was written till he goes to John to be baptized. And you say, well, what kind of a person was he? Well, I have to tell you something about him. He was tempted in all points, as we are. That's what the scripture said. I don't want you, when I tell you that Jesus Christ is God, I don't want you to lose sight of the fact that he was a man. And he was a young man. He was the same kind of young man that I'm a young man or that you're a young man. He had the same temptations. His body was like mine. He was not raised in a vacuum someplace, folks. Do you think that a good-looking young man like that walking around the streets of Nazareth, that some little Nazarene girl didn't get an eye on him sometime? Do you think that he didn't have to overcome temptation of the flesh like any other young boy and any other young man did? I'm telling you, Jesus Christ was as human and as much of a man as I am a man in every way that you want to talk about it, and he never sinned. I want to tell you, he was a virgin when he left this world and hung on Calvary's cross. And I want to tell you something else. In my research about all this, I was dumbfounded the number of quote-unquote scholars. I think they're just as dumb as a coal bucket, to tell you the truth. But the number of scholars that wanted to say, well, he probably was homosexual. Well, I want to tell you definitely he was not. I want to tell you Jesus Christ was a clean, straight-laced, upright man of God who lived a clean and a holy life. He didn't fry his brains on drugs, and he didn't souse his liver out with liquor. He was a sober, clean young man. Young people, if you're looking for a role model, look at Jesus Christ. And he lived a balanced life. Ethel Waters used to say, some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And that's true. I've seen religious people that couldn't hold a decent human conversation. There's nothing wrong with talking about the Lord, but I want to tell you something. When you go out here in the world, you better learn how to talk to other people and not spout a lot of religious stuff, because you're going to turn people off. And I found out if people want to talk about hunting, I talk about hunting. If they want to talk about races, I talk about races. I don't know anything about it, but I talk about it. All I know is the cars go round and round, so I listen to Bill and Joe, and they tell me who I'm supposed to be for, and go on with it. And you say, what do you mean? I mean, my friend, if you go to town and all you can do is spout some religious stuff to a sinner man, he don't know the language you're talking. You need to be able to show him through your life the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. And you need to be able to teach him by the way you live. Jesus had a balance. You see, how would you like to walk around at 15 years old? I mean, all your hormones just going crazy and know you're God. I've seen some 15-year-olds that thought they were. But how would you like to walk around as a young man knowing that you're God? Knowing that if you say this mountain's going to fall, it's going to fall. How would you like to walk? You talk about temptation. Temptation you've had hadn't been nothing. I mean, you've been tempted in the flesh and all that. Jesus Christ had those temptations, but he also, at the same time, recognized that he was the Son of God. At 12 years old, he's talking about God being his Father. And he has to carry that burden of knowing he's God's Son and not sinning, and go through puberty and young adulthood all at the same time. And you see, something that a lot of young people don't know how to do, Jesus did as a young person. When he was with the doctors, you say, boy, he was dumbfounding them. What else was he doing? He was listening. Jesus Christ, as a young man, knew how to listen. I know a lot of old people don't know how to listen. And he knew how to work. When he came preaching around Capernaum and up to Nazareth, do you know who they said he was? They didn't say he was the son of the carpenter. They said the carpenter. Go read it in the Bible. They called him the carpenter. Why? Because Jesus, you don't ever hear of Joseph after this day. Jesus took over this family, made a living, no doubt, for Mary, being the oldest son, that would have been his job, and would have helped raise those children. You see, it had to be that way so that he could know what it was like to have a family. And he went back, and for the next 18 years, you know what he was? obedient to his parents, subject to his parents. Now, if Jesus Christ, being the Almighty God in human flesh, can be subject to humble little parents like Mary and Joseph, then how much more we ought to all learn to be subject. You see, 18 years after this, Jesus began his ministry, and he went down to the Jordan River and asked John to baptize him. And when he took him down in the water and brought him up, heaven opened up. And the Holy Ghost came down in the form of a dove and lit on him. And the Lord had told John, now whoever you see the Spirit light on and stay, that's the one. So when he did, but then the voice come from heaven. And what did the voice say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. My friend, Jesus got an A. He had lived 30 years without sin. He had lived 30 years as a young man with all the temptations of any young man, with all of the hormones and the whatnot of any young man. He had lived 30 years, my friends, in a house filled with people that came from Adam and not from God. He had lived in a world that was full of Roman soldiers and heartache and tragedy. He had lived in a world that didn't have much to offer the human beings at that time. But he lived for 30 years and got to his baptism to open his ministry. And the Heavenly Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I have to ask you today, my friend, if God had to grade your report card today, Wonder how it'd turn out. If God had to grade your report card today, I just wonder what he'd find. Would he say, "Oh, this is my son. I'm well pleased with my son." Oh, my friend, I ask you today to analyze your life. If you're not a Christian today, I'd ask you to become a Christian. If you don't know Jesus, I'd ask you to come and get to know him, because he wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. And I would ask you today, my friend, to give up and let Jesus take over your life and become subject to him. And as a young person, if you're looking for a role model, my friend, look at Jesus. You've never seen a young man that lived just like Jesus did. Wonder of wonders, Jesus Christ our Lord, the beloved Son of God, passed the test. Will you pass the test today? And my friend, these folks up here are going to sing, "I've Been to Calvary." As they sing, we'd like you to stand and sing with them. And if you would, come up here and let's have prayer. And let's pray with you. Glenn, I'm going to get you right out of the choir there and let you come down here with me, if you will. Where are you at, Jim? Come up here. And I'm going to let Jim and Glenn stand here. And if you'll come up, they're going to pray with you. They're elders in the church, and they're going to pray with you. And while they pray with you, I'm going to get out of some of what I got on and get ready to get in the water, because we're going to baptize Tiffany. But if you're here today and you haven't been baptized, you come on. And if you need to talk about it, well, we'll talk about it later. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for the service, and thank you for Archie being with us and singing. Lord, it was such a blessing to us. And Lord, we thank you for the baptizing, and we thank you for all the wonderful blessings of God. Heavenly Father, we pray today that you'll bless these people. And Lord, anybody that needs prayer, anybody that's not saved, anybody that needs help, Father, speak to their hearts that they can come, and these elders will pray with them, and the Spirit of God will move. Father, we ask all these favors and blessings in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Would you stand and sing with the choir, "I've Been to Calvary"? Just come right on down. They'll pray with you.